reading his word daily and that sort of thing and taking it in. You do get a steady digest of the word, but there comes certain times that you have some go-to passages, if you know what I mean. And, you know, there's quite a few of them just think, okay, I'm going there. I need this today. And, you know, we go to these go-to passages. You know, some of mine are like Psalm 27, Psalm 34, Psalm 37. And I love John 14, 15, 16, 17. You know, so I go to these places. And often, too, you know, I head to Proverbs because, you know, and I try to read a proverb every day. I don't always do it, but I try to because it is the book of wisdom, and God gives us a lot of insight from Proverbs. So today, like, you know, I've had to go to, in the last couple of months, I've had to go to some of my go-to passages quite often. So, and like in particularly this week. So we're just going to have a little walk through one of my go-to passages, just about five verses of it, or eight verses, I don't remember what it is, but it's just going to be a meat and potatoes message, all right? So, you know, nothing wild or nothing, I don't think you, I think every now and then, you know, you need meat and potatoes, and that's what it is. So I even brought my Bible today because I don't want to be going back and forth with my iPad. And because we're going to just camp on these verses. And so we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3 is my favorite chapter out of the book of Proverbs. I mean, there is a host of knowledge and wealth and whatever in this chapter. But we're just going to look at verses 5 to 12 today. Okay? Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the name of my message, is trust in the Lord. And, you know, it says here, with all your heart. And the reason being that is your heart is so much bigger than your head. And, you know, it doesn't look it, but we're talking about the heart, your spirit man, right? And that is so much bigger than your head and so much bigger than your mind. And your spirit man in your heart is able to grasp so much more than your mind is. And that's why it's so much more significant than your mind. Now, I'm not saying by any means at all that your mind is not significant, because God gave us a brain for a reason, you know. And sometimes, you know, we can go off and just, you know, do crazy things and we're not using our brain, you know, and we have to be careful of that. But the point here is, it's your heart where everything comes from, and it's your heart that should be instructing you, not your brain. The scripture gives us balance right throughout scripture about, you know, putting your heart over above your head and over above your own thinking. And like I said, it doesn't mean that we walk and act in ignorance. Right? Scripture never exalts ignorance, ever. But it does exalt honor and trust all the time, but never exalts ignorance. So small-minded people put their mind first. And, you know, if you can't figure it out, there must be something wrong. And if we can't do this, you know, we just, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, I have to know what's happening here. You know, God never really meant for you to know everything that's happening in your life 24/7. Wow, surprise. The supposed to be an amount of mystery in our lives. There's supposed to be areas in our lives that we can't control. And why is that? Because if there's areas in our lives that we can't control, then we have to trust in God. And if we can't understand everything about our life, and we can control everything, then we've reduced God to our size. And God is much bigger than what we are, much bigger. So, you know, to have that bit of mystery in your life is a good thing. And, you know, we don't like to be out of control. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be out of control. You know, you feel safer sometimes. But, you know, God wants us to let go of that and trust with all our heart, with all our spirit, man, as it says, and to just be out of control in that way where there's some mystery in our lives and where we're leaning on Him for everything. And the scripture that really, I think, says it really well is Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. I'll just look at it here. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, that's where it starts. So you're strengthened with might through your spirit, through His Spirit in your spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able, here comes the understanding, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There is a love and knowledge of Christ that only comes from the heart, only comes from your spirit. And when that, and your spirit will teach your brain and your mind. And then we come to an understanding of a knowledge that it just surpasses all our thinking and understanding. And we come into the fullness of God. You know, if we want to start, see, we've been talking this year we're focusing on the supernatural and becoming people who carry the presence of God and are aware of the presence of God and can make a difference in people's lives. You know, to get to that point, you have to be listening to your spirit. You have to be listening. You have to be developing that. And it's your heart that has to be in control, not your mind. And then we get to that point where we do have, as it said, all the fullness of God. Bill Johnson says this about trust. He said, trust means that we have come to, that what we have come to know to be true about God is greater than all the circumstantial evidence that denies it. Wow. That's quite a statement. I'm going to say that again. Trust means that what we have come to know to be true about God is greater than all the circumstantial evidence that denies it. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence out there that would try to deny God is good. God is my healer. God is my provider. God is my peace. God is my joy. God is good, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that denies that fact, that truth. You know, and it reminds me of, you know, the Lindy Chamberlain case. The circumstantial evidence far outweighed the love this woman had for her child. And look what it did. But the circumstantial evidence was wrong. Just because our experience or what we're going through or our evidence, or because we see some people get healed, we see some people die, because the evidence might deny what we know about God, it doesn't change. God is still good. No evil comes from God. Nothing. Regardless of the evidence. I would have to say, you know, this morning, look, today, this message is the hardest message I ever had to preach. Because, you know, I woke up to a message this morning that my very dear friend that I've known from nursery school has passed away. Very suddenly, in like 3 weeks, boom, 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 gone. All three of the children in that family are gone. She was my age. Her brother died in his 40s. Her sister was about her age. And her mother is in Niagara Falls on her own with dementia. Sharon went to the nursing home, looked after her. Okay? I had a meltdown this morning. And let me tell you, this message just kept coming through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When the evidence denies it, it doesn't change that my God is good. Doesn't change who he is. I can't trust him with my head, with my mind, because our mind is going to lead us astray. Right? We have to trust him with our heart. I know he didn't do this. I know that that sickness, that disease did not come from him. I know that. And so I have to keep believing and knowing and trusting in his goodness. And that comes from your heart, because you cannot understand when these things happen. You know, in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, we talk about the power it brought. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that heavenly language brings power. But there's two reasons for that power. You know, we emphasize the power for breakthrough and miracles, which is fantastic because that's what it's there for. And that power to have that heavenly language and pray in the Spirit, the will of the Father, when we don't know what we're praying, you know. But the second thing, that power is for endurance. When things don't turn out like you thought they should, or when there's a delay and you think something should have happened ages ago and it hasn't happened. You know, the Holy Spirit is power for endurance. We pray in the Spirit and it edifies us. It builds us up. And it gives us that endurance when things don't turn out how we anticipated, or when things don't turn out how we know God wants them to turn out. That's the most difficult thing, because, you know, we have to see the Father's heart is breaking. It's breaking. Trust in the Lord. When things don't happen as you thought or there's a delay, trust in every part of you, in all that you do. Then it goes on to say in that same verse right after that, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. So right now I'm leaning on this pulpit. And the scripture says, lean not. Say this is the understanding. At any moment, you know, that this could be pulled out from underneath me. At any moment, you know, your understanding could lead you the wrong way. Boom. Okay? And scripture is saying, lean not into your own understanding. Don't let your understanding be the thing that supports you. All right? So we want to gain understanding. I mean, it even says in Proverbs 3, verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. We want to gain understanding, but don't. That's God's understanding. That's still what comes from our spirit. We to lean on our own understanding, because often it will send us astray. You know, if you try and work things out in your head, it will send you astray. So don't let that be what supports you. And again, I'm not saying that we have to be anti-intellect. Please don't get me wrong here, okay? I'm not saying that at all, but we still have to maintain the balance with mystery in our lives. What's God saying about this? You know, what do you think about this, Lord? You know, what are you saying? Where should I go here? What should I do there? Don't try and work everything out. Man, I'll tell you, just trying to work things out sometimes is enough to, you know, just really, sometimes you can just really lose it. If it's just not happening the way you think it should happen, and you try to work it out, and that's just, you know, take a step back and get back into your heart. So you lean not into your own understanding. And then it says, and in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge isn't just a casual glance. It's the same word that's used for knowing when God said Adam knew Eve. It's that intimate relationship. The acknowledge here is talking about exchange, interaction with God, that interaction. And actually, another word there in the original language means to discover. Wow. Just discovering that many-sided aspect of God and his wisdom and his glory. It says to acknowledge him. Just have that interchange with him and discover him in every area of your life. He wants to be involved. The wind's blowing that a bit. He wants to be involved in every part of your life, your profession, your family, your hobbies, everything. You know, he wants to be involved in it all, that interchange, that exchange with him, in your dogs, you know. He wants to be involved in our life, in everything you do. Why? Because he's interested in all those parts of your life. He's interested in everything that you do, and not just what we think are the big things. He's interested in the little things, too. Everything. The only way I can explain it, too, is like, and generally, if people who are parents here, if you've had a good parent or you are a good parent, you kind of get the idea. You want to have this interchange, this exchange with your children. You want to know everything about them. You're involved in all they do. We're involved in what our grandchildren do, their artwork, their music. It's exciting, you know. And I remember when Aubrey was little, Aubrey did fizzy, and she did ballet. And, you know, ballet, you know, she was good at both of them, very good at both of them. And she could have gone further in ballet, but then she decided to stop. Fizzy, you were never going to get anywhere with it. It was just basically a social and exercise, you know, thing. But there was competition. And, you know, just from young, I remember twice she made it to the Opera House State Championships. And one of those times she was only five or six. And I think it's six, seven, eight girls that come on the floor. 12? I can't remember. Anyway. So many girls that come out on the floor and they do their little thing, you know. But the lead up to that, you know, choosing the leotard, getting the hair done, doing the makeup, you know, and Sue's nodding her head because we did it as adults as well. And, you know, it's just all that picking it, oh, what will I wear? And well, what was that other girl going to wear? And, you know, and there was all this interest. I would practice with her. You know, Sue and another friend of ours would practice with her. Why? Because we were interested in seeing her do well. And then when she made it to the Opera House, we went, oh, wow, she made it to the Opera House State Championships, you know, not realizing. I was new at this. Not realizing, you know, most of it's rigged. Seriously, you know, all the Sydney teams got everything. But even kind of knowing that, it was this big thrill because the girls would all come out and you're thinking, oh, she is, look, it's my daughter there up in the Opera House, you know. It's just a silly thing. And then when she came out, because you never know who, because then they pick for the final of the Opera House. And she came out in the last five for the final of the Opera House. And I thought, oh, this is it. She's going to get a place. Yeah, go, Aubrey, you know. And you just say, and this is, you know, and she's just doing a thing out there. And she should have got a place, shouldn't she? She definitely should have got a place. It wasn't just me, you know. She was worthy of a place. We knew not, maybe not first, but she should have got second or third. And she didn't get a place. And we were just like, rigged. You know, Balgala or whoever it was, that all those Sydney teams, I think, rigged. They win every year. But what was it? It wasn't a big deal. She wasn't going to make a career out of it. But she loved it. She enjoyed it. And we enjoyed getting involved with her. You know, and she drew everything from us with it. You know, it's like, oh, what should I wear? Mom, help me do this. Mom, what was that? There was that interaction. And, you know, and it was the same with ballet. There was that interaction. We won't talk about the tutu cover. Yeah, I will. Okay. This is right off the track, but I need something lighthearted this morning. Well, wait a minute. Okay, she was very good at ballet, too. And so we put her in two Stedfords. Now, let me tell you, these were in our very, very broke days. Very broke. All right. And her ballet teacher wanted to put her in two Stedfords because she was putting her in the main one in Wollongong. And she says, that one, you know, it's a bit tougher, the competition. So we'll put you in Campbelltown first because she'll cream it there. She'll win it. Right? So, okay. And so, anyway, we go to Campbelltown. I don't think it was for Wollongong he made it. We go to Campbelltown, and Aubrey sees all the girls coming in. And mind you, and we had someone make her a tutu. And it was Carol Murdy. Made her a tutu. We couldn't afford to buy one. And so she comes in. She looked really nice in her tutu. And we had all the makeup on and everything. And then she gets into Campbelltown, and she sees that all the girls have all these beautiful boxes to put their tutu in, you know, to cover it, to carry it there. And we get to, so anyway, she competed at Campbelltown. She was by far the best, and she didn't get anything. I mean, they were lame at Campbelltown. They really were, like, seriously. It was, you didn't even have to be biased to notice it. So anyway, I thought, why are we even doing this? And then when she went to Wollongong, though, she actually got honorable commendation. Yeah, the next thing. So she did better with the harder competition than she did with the terrible competition. Anyway, well, it was, I need a tutu cover. I need a tutu cover. I need a tutu cover. And so Daddy says, I'll make you one, honey. And he used this is so far off my message. He used a bit of cardboard and green rubbish bag. Broke is called, okay? We know what it's like to not have any money. And so, And so it was costing us enough for the ballet lessons and the shoes and the leotards and all that stuff, you know. And we said, no, we can't afford it. Anyway, stapled it together. She stuck the tutu. And she said, Dad, I can't take that. We did take it, but she wouldn't bring it inside. I'm sorry, honey, I love you. I do love you. And really, I really wasn't planning to say that, and it just came to me because, well, why was that? You know, even God says, you know, he said, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. I'll create it for you. One of the verses translates like that, you know, I'll create it for you. And that's what he did, you know? It came from his heart. Why? There's that interchange. Interchange. And even though it was a terrible tutu cover, I know Aubrey really appreciated that he at least made an effort. He was the one that made all the dips. Who knows? He made all the Easter bonnet hat because I'm not creative at all. He made them all, and I think, oh, dear. And I remember Ronnie Van Kempen saying to me, just do what I do when it's book week and when it's Easter bonnet parade time. Just keep them home from school. And so I did. Because I didn't want my child going to school being ashamed. Okay. So you get the point? You get the point? Now, just think about that. That's God with you. Seriously. It is. Trust him. Trust him. You know, like a child trusts their parents. Just trust him. In all your ways. And it says, then when you acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. And that actually means that, you know, he's going to make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. So he's going to guide you in the right way. You're going to hear him, and you're going to be able to, when you interact with him, he will make your path smooth. He will direct your way, and you'll know where you're going and what you're doing. And then verse 7. Okay, like this is amazing, this statement. Everybody, don't be wise in your own eyes. I just need a tissue. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Your scripture says there is a way that seems right unto a man, and the ends thereof are the way of death. All right? There could be a lot of things that seem right to you. But if you haven't heard it from God, and if you don't have peace in your heart, be careful. Don't be so smart in your own head and think you know it all. All right? Don't be wise in your own estimation of what you think. Always, always, always go to Christ. And don't make the scriptures say what you want them to say. That's a big one, because we've all done it. Make the scripture say what you want it to say. And with a whole host of things, you know, even with all the things that come at us in culture, and all the thing, you know, there's a whole host of stuff that come at us. Like, and I've read some things or heard some things where, you know, we don't have to fear the Lord now because we're in the new covenant. Peter says, honor the king, fear God. Simple. You know, don't make scripture say what you want it to say. Don't be wise in your own eyes. That healthy fear draws us to God instead of away from him. That respect draws us to God. It's a respect. It's not afraid, you know. It's a respect. It said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Have that reverential respect for him. And look what happens. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, we're supposed to live health and wholeness. It comes from fearing the Lord and acknowledging him and not be wise in our own eyes.
and having a steady diet of what he says, of what his word says. That's where it comes from. Miracles are fantastic, and miracles do happen. Miracles hopefully bring you into that awe and wonder of God that want you to draw closer to him. However, when healing comes from a process of that right relationship with God and that interchange and that interaction and feeding, there's people who feed themselves a meal of healing every day of their lives, healing scriptures. They just constantly feeding that into their system. When it comes as a process, then it's been because there's been that intimate exchange, and it makes a better person out of you, and it builds your character and makes you the kind of person that God wants you to be. It becomes a process of an intense relationship with God. There's so many verses in Proverbs on healing and health. Dig them all out, find them out, and let them be a menu for you, for you to digest every day. And then the next part here, I'm kind of moving along through because I diverted with my illustration. The next part here, it says, honor the Lord. Here we go. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Okay? Honor the Lord with your possessions. Let's take possessions first of all. That is talking basically about the responsibility that he's given us and everything. Okay, so honor the Lord with your job. Honor the Lord with how you raise your children. Honor the Lord with your house, with your car. Honor the Lord with these things because he's given these things to you. Don't neglect them. Take care of them. Do the right thing. That's what he's saying there. And then he says, and with the first fruits of all your increase, okay? So this is one of those scriptures that people like to let the scripture say what they want it to say, okay? And this is one of those scriptures that's old covenant, and it's not in the new covenant. Well, let me tell you, Proverbs is full of these kind of scriptures, so just rip Proverbs right out of the Bible, because God says it's our book for wisdom. That's what it is. All right? It's our book for wisdom. And this says, honor him with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. We're talking about honor here. All right? So it's giving God the best, making him first. I'm not talking about a law here. We're talking about honoring this person who wants to be involved in your life, honoring him, and giving him first of everything, of your possessions, of everything that you have. You're saying, I'm acknowledging the one that I acknowledge in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge and honor with my money and resources. Simple. You want to honor God? Honor him with your first fruits. I can't say it any better than that. You know, if you want to explain it away in scripture, well, go right ahead. But you know, it brings a promise. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, I've read some of these little books that are out there about why we shouldn't tithe and we don't have to. And it uses the scripture and said, oh, we don't have vats and barns today. We don't use that. Well, then take us to the New Testament where Paul talks about slaves and masters. We don't have them either. So are we going to cut the whole Bible out again? No, we know what he's saying. He's talking, you know, today we can relate that to our workplace, to bosses, to people in authority over you. You know? We know what he's saying. Don't make scripture say what you want it to say. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. And it will be filled. The promise comes. Okay, you don't like vats and barns? Well, make it my house, my bank accounts, you know, my health. Make it that. Okay, because that's what it's saying. And then lastly, you know, I probably should stop here. I think I will. because I've gone 35 minutes, but I just want to say, in this chastening of the Lord, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. I'll just quickly say, you know, it's God doesn't punish. All right? It's just like a father delights in bringing correction. He brings correction to our lives so that we can develop, so that we can fulfill our purpose, so that we can walk like him and live like him. And the classic scripture is John chapter 15, the first few verses. And I think Pastor Chuck mentioned it last week about, you know, the vine, I'm the vine and you are the branches, and how he prunes us or takes away those that aren't bearing fruit. That takes away just means he lifts up. He lifts up. Doesn't mean cut you off. Okay? Means he lifts up and he prunes, cuts back if you are bearing fruit. And, you know, that is such a gentle, loving, kind thing for a father to do. You know, to just gently. And he says, you know, you are, he says, he prunes what's not bearing fruit. And he said, but you, and that word prune is clean. And then he says, you already are clean, or you already are pruned because of my word. You keep a daily ingestion of the word of God, and you stay clean and you stay pruned, you know, and that correction, we, you know, I love it when God corrects me, because he puts us on the right path, you know, and he just, it just, you know, it sometimes doesn't feel good, you know, but you know that fruit comes from it. And take some of those hard passages of scripture, some of the hard ones, you know, that we like to ignore, like, unless you forsake everything and follow me, you're not fit to be in my kingdom, okay? When you pray, forgive. Those are hard passages. Honor your father and mother. Sometimes those are hard passages, but then in contradictory style, so it seems like, he says, if you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister more than me, like if you love them more than me, then that's not good either. He's not telling us to hate, right? But he's meaning in your affection, the comparison of your affection to me. So, you know, digest some of these hard scriptures. You know, the other one, like I had down here, is he who gains his life loses it. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it won't bear any fruit, okay? These are hard passages of scripture. Study them and let God talk to you about them. You know, and that's part of his correction. Thank you for being so patient this morning. We just stand, and I'll just close in prayer. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are so good. And Lord, it's our heart's desire to just honor you. And just give all that we are to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be a people who listen to you, who walk with you, who talk with you, who hear from you, who lean not in our own understanding, Lord, but in all our ways we acknowledge you. Lord, help us to trust you with our whole heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. And we're going to have communion right now.